Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's time for the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast, answering your questions from the General's quarters every week, right here on VolQuest.
Hey, good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome to VolQuest Mailbag Podcast. I am Eric Kane, alongside Austin Price, Grant Ramey, and Brent Hubbs. Appreciate you guys for sending in a whole lot of questions this week. Last 2 weeks have been really, really good, and we look forward to diving into all of these regarding Tennessee football, recruiting, basketball, transfer portal, little baseball as well. Couldn't do it without our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions. If you need roofing, siding, windows, or garage, you can contact Exterior Home Solutions today. They've been local and trusted since 1999. They're your first choice in roofing. That is at 865-524-5888, or visit them online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Let's start with run through the tee. Are we taking anyone in the spring portal? Just kind of resetting that question here, and then furthermore, G. Waltney wants to know any rumblings of anyone else looking to jump into the portal, Austin Price.
It sure doesn't feel like it. No, as of right now. Now, do I think there's a possibility that somebody can go in from Tennessee? Yes. But as far as rumbling names, not to this point. Now, as far as adding, I just don't think, you know, Tennessee's going to add anybody. It feels like they're going to kind of stand pat and roll from there.
It doesn't even feel like they're going to visit anybody at this point. It just doesn't feel like anything's going to happen there. But again, you've got 5 days left, 6 days left in the portal window till it closes. And then you never know what happens over that stretch of days. But it just feels like it's real quiet for Tennessee right now. And I think it's been kind of quiet overall to a degree. I mean, there's been some movement, but it's not been chaos for sure.
All right, let's go to another question here from Run Through the Tee. If you had to predict today, where does the 2025 class end up ranking, Austin?
I'm going to go top 10, somewhere 8 to 10, but it could be top 5 depending on, you know, do you land David Sanders? Do you land, you know, Jamie French or Caleb Cunningham or Travis Smith? Like, you know, to be in that upper echelon, you've got to hit on some highly ranked guys. And so you've already got one 5-star in George. You know, to me, you've got to hit on, you know, David Sanders and people like that if you're going to reach that crazy level at top 5.
Let's go to Orange Celtic. Any information on the upgrades to the Food City Center besides the naming rights, Grant?
They got the big letters on the side of the building. Now it says Food City Center with Thompson Bowling Arena under it. I don't know where it is on their list of priorities. They're doing a lot of stuff with, you know, fan stuff in terms of, I guess the higher money tickets in terms of fan experience stuff and suites and whatever, kind of not really in the arena as much as kind of underneath the everything in the bowels of the arena a little bit. They're going to upgrade the video board at some point, which can't be done quickly enough, in my opinion, because that thing is way out of date compared to what some of the other teams in the league have. But in terms of what you see going on with Neyland Stadium and what you see going on at Lindsey Nelson, I just don't know where the priorities are. Maybe Hubs can better answer that in terms of what the pecking order is or what the timeline is. When they released the naming rights of Food City Center, they had a lot of artist renderings of some fan stuff and the new video board and all that stuff, but I don't know exactly where it is on the pecking order.
I think you're still in a design, kind of a talking design phase deal. I mean, I know at the bowl site they met with some people just to kind of kick ideas around, not no contract agreement with anybody, no designer, anything, just, you know, looking at some different type things. And I think they've looked around at some other places and see, I know in my conversations with Danny White, he can't wait to dive into that all that dead space that's in the arena on the backside, you know, because in this day and age, you don't necessarily need to back 12 semi trucks, you know, into that area. I don't know that there's a big push to host a lot of monster truck rallies in there. You know, I think that kind of moving away, kind of maybe moving away from some of those types of things.
Well, but there goes my game time read.
You know, we'll see what happens when it's all said and done. I think the first priorities, I mean, you're in a $100 million renovation to the baseball stadium, that this next phase is going to be about as stressful. If you thought this past winter trying to get stuff done in time was going to be crazy, what did you see what they're tackling come June here in terms of the next 8 or 9 months to get ready to play on the baseball side of things? And then we know what's going on at Neyland Stadium. And then Danny White said at the Orange and White game, they're almost to the point of getting ready to lock in a designer, a developer for – now, the university's not paying for it, but for that – what are we going to call that thing, the – battery light, what do they call that thing in Atlanta?
The battery.
So we're gonna, I don't know what we're gonna nickname that thing over the G10 garage whenever they start to move kind of in that direction. So it's on the list. I think you got to finish a couple projects first. They got enough cranes going up right now on campus, but although it doesn't appear that the complex expansion on the football side of things is anywhere near of a priority right now. They might dive into 3 more athletic facilities before they finish putting up the outdoor fire pits and outdoor basketball court that's coming as a part of the Anderson Training Center expansion.
Listen, we're one faulty screw away from coming down on that press box at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. So we just got a couple games left, and then we're going to get a brand new one. Let's go to CG Shaw 114. The culture seems to be at an all-time high with our football program. When did you get that feeling that Heupel and his staff had a chance to change the directory of this program? With that in place and where NIL and the portal is at, so what needs to be done to make sure that this continues? Austin or Brent, one.
Well, for me, it was, you know, I think that first year of camps for the prospects, and he walked by Hubs, smacked Hubs on the butt, and then had that look in his eye. And I was like, this thing's done.
That first day of camp, you were golfing that year, so it must have been the second or third day.
No, I'm not talking about fall camp. I'm talking about the prospect camps in June.
No, okay.
But yes, early fall camp is always a prime date for a good golf trip.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, we could all talk about culture and good culture back. I mean,
overblown, right, Hubs? You've overblown.
Well, how many bad teams on the field have great culture? How many 4-8 teams have great culture? Like, it's about winning, right? I mean, when did it change? Well, I mean, when you had 70,000 fans on the field singing Dixieland Delight, that was a pretty good night for your culture, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be flippant. But
adversity,
I mean,
tests culture. I mean, yeah, that's what you're saying. You're 4-8.
But you got to win. I mean, right? I mean, you got to win. Everybody talked about, you know, this coach had good culture. He flipped the culture. Okay, if he was winning, then the culture flipped a little bit.
Sure.
Right, Grant? I mean, if Rick Barnes is not winning, are we talking so much about Rick Barnes's culture in his program?
Yeah, and I mean, yes, winning cures everything. When I read that question, something that came to my mind was when Heupel was hired, what was it, January 2021, and he comes in and the next few months they're having wiffle ball games and they're doing all this stuff that you kind of roll your eyes at when it's happening, because all you want to see is wins and you want somebody to turn this thing around. But I do think from the beginning, he kind of started changing things in terms of being a player's coach and making it obvious that he was going to seek the feedback of these guys and what the guys that were in the program then, what they wanted and what they'd been through. And I think Danny White did that too before he hired Josh Heupel, and Heupel kind of continued that. So yes, on the field, that's everything. Nothing else matters if you're not winning. But I do think kind of from the jump, where he was put in a pretty tough situation timing wise and all that stuff, that he did come in and kind of instantly try to change stuff and do a kind of the players coach thing and you know, have fun with it. And I felt like it kind of started to change then. And yes, if you're not winning, that doesn't matter. But I do think from the beginning, it kind of felt like something happened there.
Well, and I think to your point, and I think it's a good point, Austin, you go back to that first year when Tennessee goes to Missouri and just manhandles Missouri up there, right? They run for a gazillion yards, and Ollie Lane's chasing Tyon Evans down the field, and all of those types of things. I think there was a moment, if you're a player and that happens, there's a realization that, hey, this works, right? And when you have that moment that this works, it changes, it feeds off of everything Grant's talking about. And I think that was a big moment for that team, even though that wasn't a good Missouri team. You know, nobody saw that day coming, and everybody went, hey, this may work. And then the next week they beat South Carolina, and then all of a sudden, hey, this team may go to a bowl game in year one, right?
Yep.
And then it sort of takes off from there. So there are moments, but Grant's right. I mean, he inherited a mess and came in and just wanted to know people's story and who they were, and they weren't just a number. They were an actual person, you know, and I think that was something that this program needed at that time.
Robo22 says, as we settle into draft this week, how are things looking for our Vols who are draft eligible? Grant, I know you've been looking at all the mock drafts and kind of what all the analysts have been saying. Where's Jalen Wright, Joe Milton, Kamal Haddon, maybe McCallum Castle, some other guys kind of standing heading into draft, which the first round's coming up tonight?
The good news for Jalen Wright is he had the monster combine that he had, and he started climbing in this running back class. The bad news is it's not a strong running back class, really. There's not going to be a first rounder Thursday night based on most of the analysis and the experts and all the people putting together mock drafts. People seem to think Jonathan Brooks, the Texas running back, will be the first one off the board, but that might not be until late second round at best. So it looks like Jalen Wright will probably be a third rounder Friday night in Detroit. If I had to guess at this point, Joe Milton, it seems like most of the analysts think he's going to be a seventh round kind of late flyer kind of guy, which when you get to that point, maybe you question if you want to be drafted or if you want to go undrafted and kind of pick where you end up based on situations and depth charts and all that stuff. But I know there's been some connection with him and the Buffalo Bills based on some mock drafts from ESPN lately. Because of Josh Allen and kind of similar builds and in that system and all that stuff. Kamal Haddon, he's another guy, maybe seventh round, maybe undrafted because of that shoulder injury and the surgery and being out since October. So I think Jalen Wright's going to be a third rounder, maybe. Joe Milton might get drafted. Kamal Haddon might get drafted. Outside of that, I think it's going to be a lot of undrafted free agents.
The one thing I know about the NFL draft hubs is like all the projections that everybody loves to read never end up happening. It's kind of like Joe Lenardi's really good at telling you who's going to be in the tournament, but as far as specific seed, not as much. Like and so like how many of that, like, well, the guy from Texas, everybody wants him. How much is that, you know, posturing because somebody else really wants to get, you know, Jalen Wright or some other back or whatever. You know, so much of that goes on that, like, I just think every year you go, I mean, how many times do they make, you know, commissioner or once we get past the first round, whoever comes up there to the stage and they go, whoa, you know, like, I mean, like, you can't believe that just happened. So, I mean, like, I just, for me, like, I just sit back and watch it and we'll see where it happens. Like, I'm not going to pretend to have any kind of, like, you know, feel for, you know.
Well, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, the other thing, too, is there's 412 mock drafts and yep. They've been doing them for the last 6 months. And so, I mean, you don't do your mock draft doesn't stay the same every week, right?
I was gonna say, they make a point to change it.
You got to move some stuff around. And then we're going to hear all day today about who's moving, blockbuster potential trade, and all of these types of wild moves that may or may not end up happening when it's all said and done. The biggest surprise to me, not biggest, but one of the surprises for me with Joe Milton in Tennessee and the former players in the draft for the Vols, I was a little surprised Joe only went and saw one team after his pro day. Like, nobody wanted to bring him in and do a bigger deep dive on Joe Milton. That was a surprise to me. He went to the Cleveland Browns, and unless he went somewhere this week, which doesn't happen at this stage of the draft, he only got one team visit. And I thought maybe after his pro day in Knoxville, he might get more than that just from some people who were like, all right, what's the real story on this guy? I want him in my building for half a day so I can sort of figure out what all is going on with this guy. The only team that did that were the Cleveland Browns.
Jalen Wright, no matter what, make sure you get draft day in there before the draft starts tonight and you'll be ready to go for the weekend. Grant Ramey, I'm going to need that edit for Locked On Vols Twitter account. Vol_fan89, Austin Price, Tennessee or the field? Whose odds do you like the best today for the following? We'll go one by one. Tennessee or the field? David Sanders.
Tennessee.
Josh Patty.
Field.
Juan Gaston.
Field.
Jalen Matthews.
Tennessee.
Douglas Utu.
Field.
Dontrell Glover.
Field.
So two of the 6 guys. Is that right? Two you gave to Tennessee, yeah, Sanders and Matthews?
I'm saying Tennessee has a better than 50% chance. Tennessee could still be the technical favorite for some of these kids when I'm thinking 40 for Tennessee, 35, and, you know, is that 25? I'm trying to do math. I could still see them being the favorite from some of those guys that I took the field on. But if you're sitting here, as you know, we sit here on April 25th, by the way, happy birthday to my father-in-law, Dwayne Deardorff, and Craig Price, my father. Yes, they share the same birthday.
Craig!
Craig, happy birthday, Craig.
Early birthday to my sister tomorrow. We're all April babies, including me and my wife.
By the way, I'll expect a check for your use of the birthday gram on the VolQuest podcast. We charge for those.
You're funny.
Thank you.
I just don't want to say that Tennessee's better than, you know, and I mean, like, I know what people are going to run with the David Sanders stuff. I just think Tennessee's got a ton of momentum there. They still got to get it done. They still got to, you know, they got to survive every official visit. They've got to keep the momentum, and that's hard. I mean, just because you have momentum in early April doesn't mean you'll have momentum in early June. We've seen that before. So, again, you've got to find a way to maintain and continue the momentum. Clemson, Ohio State, none of those teams are going away for David Sanders. And Tennessee may emerge as more of a factor once Petty gets back to campus. All of a sudden, he may be one of those that, you know, I'm saying, you know, Tennessee, not the field. Douglas Utu, is he okay playing guard? If he's okay playing guard, maybe Tennessee becomes more of a long-term factor there. So, again, a lot can change, as we say here in late April, over the next 6 weeks before these official visits start.
Two baseball questions here from Sam Smith. The staff only trusts 4 or 5 guys in the barn. Hubs, that's the bullpen, on the SEC weekends.
Just call it the bullpen, man.
Hey, I'm with you, man. But, again, there's some people out there that are offended. Do we see them try to stretch out Loy in the midweek or let Phillips get more high-leverage work with only 5 weeks left until June baseball? At some point, you're going to need a fourth starter or more guys if your goal was to dogpile in Omaha. Yeah, last night you saw, or 2 nights ago, you saw Dylan Loy go 3 innings, and of course the wheels fell off there in the 4th, but he was going to go about 4 innings or 45 pitches, so stretching him out a little bit, I think he would be an option for some innings in a regional if you go down a game or a 4 starter in the SEC tournament or something like that. Marcus Phillips, of course, came in and got the final out in Lexington, and that's only going to build his confidence, and he had, you know, 2 scoreless last Tuesday night in relief, and of course he had 2 scoreless in the start last Tuesday. So
he becomes a closer. Does he become a closer, Eric Kane?
I think we get caught up in terms.
Throw that gas.
We get caught up in terms too much. Like, Tennessee doesn't have a true closer, if you will.
Hold on a minute. You just told Hubs he's got to get on board with calling it the barn, which is a term, and now you're saying we're getting caught up in terms too much.
Well, I was joking, but. Like, Aaron Combs can close. Phillips can close. Ben Joyce could close. There's a couple of different closing options. It's about picking your spots. And that kind of leads me to my next thing. Like, when A.J. Russell comes back, barring a setback, he will be back. I think you should pinpoint mid to early May, maybe that Vanderbilt series. They're going to pick their spots with them. You know, 2 innings here. Go and close a game. Get a 6-out save. Go middle relief. Stop the bleeding. In regional play or an SEC tournament, go start a game, pitch 2 innings or whatever. They're just not going to let him go 100 pitches. You know what I'm saying? So, again, back to this, Phillips is turning into a guy. I do think they're trying to become a guy of Loy, and Binky bounced back good the other day. So those are 3 guys right there. I think Brady Robinson is a guy that's looked really good in midweeks. He got the early hook on Tuesday. But I think he's a guy they want to start working in a little bit as well.
Who's the pitcher that was – he got hurt 2 years ago, and then he came back right before. He's a starter in 29.
Blake Tidwell.
Tidwell, yes. How do you compare Tidwell coming back at that point in the season to potentially A.J. Russell coming back?
I think Tidwell had more rain than what A.J. Russell will. meaning, you know, towards the end of the year, he was, you know, picking up starts and going, you know, 4 or 5 innings. He wasn't going super long, but I think he had more, you know, in his leash in terms of going into the ballgame. I don't think A.J. Russell's going to, you know, be allowed to go 50, 60 pitches at this time. Things can always change. And they were, memory serves me correct, I mean, they were starting him. I think A.J. will be using a number of different roles, kind of like the first inning the other day. They went straight to A.J. Causey, you know, whenever there was some trouble. A.J. Russell will be an option in that situation, or, you know, went to, you know, Nate Snead in game two, or get later in game one. A.J. Russell will be an option there. So a little similar, but I don't think A.J. Russell will be pitching as much, you know, into ball games, you know, pitch count, all that type of stuff as Blake Tidwell. Another one here from Sam Smith. Does anyone hate their alma mater more than Tony Vitello? Did you guys see all the talk about Tony's post-game press conference on Tuesday?
I did. I was lost on where he was going. It was completely all over the map. Like,
so it was classic Tony, right?
Yeah, he wanted to say something, and then he thought maybe better of it, and he decided to say a little bit, and he thought maybe that was not enough, and he wanted to say more, and then I wasn't sure. I mean, it's pretty clear he doesn't have any love affair for Missouri, and certain people at Missouri that used to be at Missouri, yeah, he has zero love affair for.
Yeah, none. I think that's it. I think everybody loves where they come from. I think he genuinely loves the school and the program because he was a part of that. The former head coach, who's no longer there, he does not like at all. And he didn't mince his words about it last night at all. He went and, you know, plucked A.J. Causey from him in Jacksonville State this offseason too. Those guys are not on Christmas cards terms for sure. The pitching coach who is there now used to be the head coach, if I'm not mistaken, in Missouri, and he has a good relationship with him. He mentioned another guy that is on staff for Missouri that he actually recruited. So I think he likes the group that's there now and the head coach that's there now. The former AD, the former head coach, some people in administration, he don't care for him. And keep in mind, too, I mean, they passed on him when they hired that guy as well. So that's, you know, still kind of baking in the back of his mind. So
we've all been there. The best way to get into Columbia, Missouri is PJ in, out, get out. You don't spend a whole lot of time there.
To quote Eric Kane on the BallQuest podcast, he's fiery. He's Italian.
Yes.
Put it on a t-shirt.
He was all over the map the other night for sure. And he came in with a direct plan and kind of deviated from that. Let's go to this next one. Would the SAP potentially pivot to recruiting Cam Sparks as an athlete or on defense at spots where to fill up at wide receiver? He seems way too gifted athletically just to give up on him recruiting.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, and here's the thing. Guys need to understand this. Tennessee's not given up on Cam Sparks.
Yeah, correct.
They've not moved on. The deal with Cam Sparks is this. He wants to go through the process. He wants to go see other schools. He wants to go through the visit process. He's not in a hurry to make a decision. Because of that, I don't know where he's going to be with Tennessee bringing in other guys for official visits in June. It doesn't mean he's down their board. It's they're taking 4 and they're recruiting 8, right? And they've got 2 in the boat, right, AP?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say down the board. I would just say, I would say like if Jamie French wants to come,
he's got a spot.
If Cam Sparks wants to come, well, it depends on how many they got in the boat.
Right. Like,
there's the difference, right?
It's like, about when he wants to – when does he want to make a decision? When he makes a decision based on the number of commitments Tennessee has at that position could affect things with him. It doesn't mean Tennessee doesn't like him, they're not recruiting him, because they are. It's just he's not in any hurry at this point to make a decision.
Like, let's do it this way. Like, let's say Tennessee gets Jalen Matthews, and then Tennessee gets, let's say, Juan Gaston. If David Sanders wants to come in December, come on, David Sanders. Like, David Sanders always got a spot, right? Like, I mean, you know, like they're
I take all of them at that position. That position and the wide receiver position aren't comparable to me because I can always slide a guy inside. Take every tackle that wants to come.
Okay, let's say an elite linebacker then.
Okay.
Or an elite running back. But you see what my point though is. It's like there is a certain level of player that, like, you know,
always has a spot.
Always has a spot.
Right.
We got plenty more to get into, but first, let's get a word from our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions.
This is your family's first and most important line of defense against Mother Nature. When she strikes, make sure you call the people that I trust, my family and friends at Exterior Home Solutions.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I see that, Eric Kane, all I can think about is the scene from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where the cow's on top of the house floating in the water, except where I imagine Packer on top of that house floating in the middle of the Atlantic, which is currently where he's at.
Exterior Home Solutions, your number one spot for roofing, but of course they do everything else. Local and trusted since 1999, 865-524-5888 for a free consultation. Of course, you can visit them online at exteriorhomesolutions.com.
Those guys are on my roof right now.
Can you get up on the roof
and just kind of...
No. They're on my roof. I'm not getting on
my roof. You should do the podcast from up there. That would be fantastic. No. Be like a live infomercial.
It's a little too steep. No.
All right, let's go to Who is J.J. Peterson, which is still one of the best screen names on our website. Is Akai Ziegler on pace to have his number 5 jersey retired for a second time, Grant Ramey?
Let's see. How do I put this? It's going to be hard. He's going to be an All-American, I believe. I think he's won a championship.
No faith.
Because of the SEC. I think you got to worry about Dalton Kinnick's jersey potentially before Zakai. I mean, I love Zakai. He's been elite. He's been a great point guard. He's going to have a great senior season. He's done some unbelievable stuff, but he's still got a little bit to accomplish before I think he's even eligible by Tennessee's standards of whatever that list is. I can never remember all of them. There's 5 things. You got to hit 3 of them. So including winning an international award, which he hasn't done yet. He's not all American yet. So he's got some work to do.
Let's go to S. Pitt Vol, South Pittsburgh Vol. Latest on Tobe Awaka. Seems like the prospect of getting him returning is diminishing the longer this plays out.
I agree with that. The longer this goes on, the more he has a actual recruitment and visits other schools and talks to other schools. And you look at what Tennessee is doing, too, with Felix Akpar and then bringing him in for a visit. He's a 6'11 rim protector. He's a guy that would play that Tobe Awaka role or Jonas Adu role. You look at Igor Milicic, 6'10". That's another guy that would be taking some minutes in the post. So I agree that the longer this goes on, the more that diminishes. It feels like if he was coming back, it would have happened by now. It hasn't happened by now. It feels like that's going to be a traditional kind of transfer portal situation where a kid enters, gets recruited, and leaves. So we'll see what happens.
This is a good one right here. This is from Pine. He said, last mailbag we determined Hooker was UT's best portal player. This week, I need to know who is the best current Vol from New York. One led UT to Elite Eight. One led UT to the World Series. Both have cool letter nicknames. So who is the best? Is it ZZ or Simo? Brent, you wanna answer this one? Zakai Ziegler or Christian?
I know where I'm going on
that. Yeah, I'm gonna go Zakai Ziegler is where I'm gonna go with that one. And that's not a knock on Christian Moore. I just think the impact that Zakai Ziegler has had on the program and the impact one person can make in a basketball program as opposed to other sports, I probably would go Zakai Ziegler.
I'm going to go Christian Moore. I just think he's fantastic. I think he's Tony's best pro prospect since he's been here. And kind of watching how that kid's grown up, Eric, maturity. He's one that now guys, I think, follow. You know, he has become a true leader I think Zakai has always kind of had that. I just think what Christian Moore has turned into has been.
I mean,
you can't go wrong either.
Christian Moore's growth in the program here has been more significant than Zakai Ziegler. Zakai Ziegler from day one, to me, made everybody in the program better from the day he got on campus because of the way he competed. That's why I go Zakai Ziegler. But I see your point. I mean, you're right. You can't go wrong with either selection. But I think I would stick with Zakai.
If you went just straight off the New York part of this, I would definitely go Ziegler because he continues to talk like a New Yorker. Christian Moore does not talk
like New York. Grant, who you got?
I got to break the tie. Recency bias would say Christian Moore, but I think my basketball bias would say Zakai Ziegler. quiet, Eric. We're talking right now.
That's right. You're moderating, Eric. We'll let you get back to the next question.
I know my place.
I agree with what Hub said about, you know, rosters are smaller in basketball, so one individual makes a bigger difference in terms of the team and the program. And I think if you take Zakai out of this program for the last 3 years, it could be drastically different right now compared to what it is with Zakai. And I think if you take Christian Moore out of the Tennessee baseball program, I think Tony's going to have enough studs to be a pretty good baseball program with or without Christian Moore. And that's not to downplay Christian Moore, his significance or anything like that. It's more of a compliment to Tony and what he's built, and it feels like they would just keep on keeping on. Now, Eric, you get a turn to talk.
Oh, thank you, Grant. Yeah, all that sounds great. I'll go Simo just to pull us even here, because by the time he's done, he could hold two program records, all-time homers, single-season homers, okay? He's already been to Omaha once. He was a part of the best regular season college baseball team ever, and then to be determined what this team is. So just from a Wikipedia page bullet point items, I'll go Simo. But, I mean, obviously, I'm not discrediting Zakai because I think he's awesome. Let's go to I Believe I Can Vol. What's the safety board look like with guys like Morgan, Mosley, Hayward, and some others?
Shady Hayward, you know, obviously Tennessee would take him as a safety. Now, I think he's likely to go into a linebacker, and he talks about that. Tim Merritt is a guy that Tennessee really likes at the safety spot. They already just got the commitment from, Sidney Walton, kid from Alabama. There's a kid out of Hawaii that Tennessee is really starting to push for. I'm thinking that's a good road trip for me to go see that kid, kind of do a deep dive, on him. To watch his face when he looked at his face.
When's Matt going on a trip?
He's going to Hawaii in July. Might be able to write that old trip off. See that kid while he's over there. That's to me. And then, of course, Jordan Young. To me, that would probably be the top three guys at the safety spot. Minus Hayward, who, again, Tennessee will take as a safety, but from a physical standpoint, could grow out of safety. Either way, they're taking that kid. He's a player, period.
Got a couple here from ETSU Buck, who also equally loves the Vols. first one is, do you see players entering the transfer portal twice, like Wesley Walker, and it looks like Tyler Barron is going to, in just a few months, becoming a trend?
For the ones that just can't be happy. Most kids are going to enter it and go a place and stay. I think when you see either you have too many outside voices and influences when you go back in, or like in Keyshawn Lawrence, well, actually he didn't leave. That was a different Key Lawrence. I don't think he won the safety job at Ole Miss in the spring. So like, I think that you can see that, like a kid goes someplace, doesn't win the job in the spring, and then says, hey, I ain't going to play here. I need to go somewhere else. And they leave again. Either way, I don't think it's a real good look for anybody.
I think the question for me, Grant and Eric, is going to be how attractive are those guys who are 5 months removed from going through the portal process? Like, if you're a coach, or you're like, I mean, we talked about culture 20 minutes ago in this podcast. Like, how much are you like, and I know coaches think they can fix everybody, right, Grant? I mean, they can make it all work. But do you red flag guys who are multiple, twice in a year guys who go back into the portal without ever playing at the place they transferred to begin with? That's what I wonder.
Yeah, and it's just what's the trend? I mean, what number is a trend? It's going to happen. There's going to be some cases. I don't think it's going to happen a ton, but there are going to be those guys. And there are, they're red flags. I mean, Danny Hurley said it a couple days after they won the title. Like, we don't take kids who have been to four different high schools and two different colleges and are now looking for another spot. Like, there's not going to be a lot of coaches that take those guys that just constantly move, cannot sit still, cannot stay at a school. So, yeah, it's going to happen. But it's not going to happen a ton because I do think that gets noticed, and that's something that's not helping your case when you're trying to find somewhere.
Well, like, look at a guy like Shabari Young. Like, I think college coaches are totally good with him, the wide receiver who was at Webb, went to Berlin Academy, and then went back to Webb, right? Like, it's not like he's only been at the two schools. He didn't it's technically three straight years at a different place, but he went one place and, I'm not really happy here, and just went back to his original spot. You know, like, whereas, like, you know, had he went from there to Baylor or McCauley or whatever, I think you're going, that's weird. He's at three schools in 3 years, you know, a little different. So I think each situation can be a little bit different.
I would say, as far as not being appealing, which I agree with Hubs, how desperate are you? Like, where are you at in your roster? That's right. But the good teams
How good do you think that player is?
Yeah.
You know, see, elite. Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, like, the good teams, college football playoff teams, probably aren't very desperate at this stage in the game. So you're just really limiting your options. But I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, it's not a good look. They're not attractive to me if I'm trying to assemble a roster right now. Last one here. I think Cam Carr could be a future star. What do you think his impact will be next year, Grant? Starter, all SEC, or role player?
One of the Tennessee coaches told me last fall, that they thought Cam Carr has first round draft potential in the NBA. I mean, you look at his length, you look at his athleticism. Obviously, he's going to add some pounds and try to get stronger, but he's going to come in and the versatility that he can give you. Next season, what's his role? All SEC might be a pretty big jump. He's going to have to play a bigger role. He's going to have to get more minutes. He's going to have to kind of be that versatile piece that they can rely on a little bit. Starter, I don't know. We'll see what kind of spring and summer and fall he has and stuff like that and what the roster looks like this time next year. But they think he has all the potential in the world. They love his upside, and I think you're going to start to see some of that next season.
What's the starting five going to be?
That's a great question, Eric Kane. Save it for the Monday Night Chat, though. That's where I drop all the future starting fives.
I already dropped it in the VolQuest private email.
Bronco Vol says, what kind of spring did Tyree Weathersby have, Brent?
I think it was solid. I mean, I think they were cautious with him. Awesome. I think that, you know, he got some work, but they didn't beat him up. They wanted to kind of ease him back into ball. I don't think there's anybody that feels any disappointment or any red flags about where he's at in terms of recovery and everything. He's got to continue to get stronger, continue to get all of his flexibility back and be ready to go in fall camp. I think he's absolutely going to be a part of the rotation and will be a factor at defensive end. I think that strong side defensive end position is going to be pretty fascinating to watch this fall because you got three or four different real body type guys who can play out there, which is going to make that a really unique position, in my opinion. Obviously, when you go Rabbits, Austin, you can go with two Leos. But when you talk about Weathersby, West, Jason Jenkins, you know, those are different body type guys. I mean, I think you can be really heavy there. You can be lighter there. You can do that a bunch of different ways. I think the rotation at that position is going to be pretty interesting.
Let's go to Caden _ Measles. This is a fun question for all of us. A question for the entire staff here. On a personal level, who is your favorite Vol of all time for any sport? Grant, you go first.
Well, I'm a child of the 90s, so Al Wilson and a full cage face mask and that visor and the neck roll and the Sports Bell mesh jersey and the big 27, the numbers were as wide as the state of Tennessee. I mean, there's few things cooler as a kid than watching Al Wilson play linebacker. So I would have to go Al Wilson hands down.
AP. Go ahead, AP.
I think it depends. As a kid, I would tell you James LeMann Stewart because he was from Morristown, right around the area. I love old school numbers. So I love when a back wears 33 or 22 or 24 or 30. That stuff I enjoy. Everybody just wants a single digit now. As I've gotten older as an adult, for me, it would be Eric Berry because, I think what he meant to me and what he meant to you know, the football team as a whole.
The first football player I remember meeting scared me to death. That was Reggie White. I had never seen. I was on the turf at a spring game. This would have been, I would have been 7, 8 years old. I had never seen anybody that big in my entire life. And like, he like picked me up and like put me on his shoulder pad. And I was like, all right, this is not going to end very well for me. But I had a chance to visit with them some later on and meet him at a couple of other different occasions as well. So that was kind of the first guy for me because he was a quote bigger than life dude, literally, because he was just, I'd never seen anybody that big at all. It was crazy as a little kid.
Yeah. The first name that comes to mind is, you know, wasn't an All-American, you know, wasn't a huge, great, you know, player. May he rest in peace. It was my favorite player growing up was Jesse Mahalona. I don't know why. I just liked him. I really liked him. And when the Titans drafted him, I think like in the fifth or sixth round that year coming out of Tennessee, man, I was pumped. Hard not to like Trey Smith a lot. I'm partial with my co-host of the porch, Luke Lipsius. I think he's awesome. A lot of good ones. But as a kid, I remember my favorite player being Jesse Mahalona. I don't know why. I just really liked him.
You guys are pups. All y'all are such young pups, and I'm so old, it's pretty embarrassing.
I brought up James Little Man Stewart.
I covered James Little Man Stewart's practices at Tennessee, AP, while you were in high school wearing his jersey on Thursdays for Spirit Week. I was watching him practice.
He was a Marshall West dub. I had to wear Randy Sanders' jersey for Spirit Week.
Hubs was at the train station when Johnny Majors got off that first visit to Knoxville. He had a notepad. Johnny, you coming here?
I'm old.
ATL VFL. This is a good question. Hubs, this is fitting for you. If you only had, if you only had enough bubble wrap for one player in fall camp, who would it be for? Cooper or Sampson?
If I'm bubbling wrap in one guy?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I'm probably leaning towards Cooper.
I agree.
Is where I would go.
Yeah, I think you can make it work with another tailback.
Yeah, I would agree. That's where I'm at with that one.
What date do the non-early enrollees get to campus, Austin? It's June 1st, right around that.
Some of them will start arriving in May, though. Let's start getting here in May.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can see first.
It's pretty clear you can show up whenever you want to and go to school. Ask Edward Spillman, right? Like drop that's bad right. Deadlines just don't exist. I mean,
Willie Mays Hayes, baby. Willie Mays Hayes.
Whenever you want to go. Come on.
What are the odds Seldon is back for the Oklahoma game on September the 21st?
I don't know because we're still too early to know if he's at, you know, is he ahead of schedule? Is he behind schedule? Where's he at in the recovery process? Is he a quick healer?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be practicing at that point. It's just, is he far enough along that you're going to clear him to play? And also, is he far enough along that you're ready and you're comfortable putting him out there with time that he's missed? But that's where I think that's going to be a little bit more. He's back, but is he really fully back at that point?
The seven Maxims want to know, who's the backup center for 2024? There was a lot of talk about it going into spring. Is it resolved? Is it Bison Lang? Brent, is it Bison from the start, or do you think it's probably a Dane Davis as a security blanket until Bison truly takes it?
I think it depends on what happens in fall camp. Yep. You know, what kind of step does Bison Lang take this summer? Where is he at? Is he going forwards or backwards coming out of spring? They gave him a gazillion opportunities in the spring. I mean, every opportunity under the sun to grow and get better. I do think he got better. What's the step he makes this offseason? I think the security blanket and the comfort level is we know Dane Davis can do it. Now let's see where Bison Lang is in fall camp. That's where I am with it right now.
Got about five more. We'll run through these quickly. Dalval 5, will the SEC ever implement an SEC to SEC transfer ban in other sports like they do in football? AP, I would say probably not, because that'll probably go away in football, you know, here in the next year or two, right?
The moment someone sues, that will go away.
Yeah.
And eventually they are, right? They will.
Well, remember this too, Grant. You have some sports like basketball, which has a one-time portal window.
Yes.
Unlike football, which has, you know, in the fall sports, which has the two portal windows. You know, basketball only has one portal window, which is why that ban doesn't exist.
It is a wild difference where in football there is that SEC to SEC school ban. And in basketball, I mean, all of Kentucky's class basically is going to, it feels like, is going to follow John Calipari straight to Arkansas. And Jonas Adu is going to go on a visit to Arkansas. And he's been contacted by Kentucky, and nobody even really bats an eye at it. It just feels completely normal.
GoVols365 says, start one, bench one, cut one. Reggie White, John Henderson, Albert Haynesworth.
Starting Reggie White.
I think that's the order, right?
Yeah. Benching John Henderson, and I'm cutting Albert Haynesworth.
Yes, that's the order right there. Orange Gopher says, okay, guys, share your favorite behind-the-scenes moment in Vol history. For example, where were you when Peyton announced he was coming back?
I was visiting the cadavers at Carson Newman College.
University now, but back then it was college.
Yeah.
Eric was watching CNN's Channel 1 in homeroom class.
No, I don't remember. I wasn't old enough. I don't remember.
Channel 1. Holy hell. That's fantastic. That's the best pull you've ever had. Lisa Long or Lisa Ling or whatever it is. Yeah, it's awesome.
On a 13-inch
podcast ever.
On a 13-inch box TV shoved up in the corner. Jane has of the class.
Who Channel 1 even, what Channel 1 even is.
All right, Grant, where were you?
I have no idea where I was. I do have a behind the scenes.
Yeah, it could be something else.
What was this? December 2020. It's like December 21st. It's the last basketball game before Christmas. We're all just trying to get out of there. They play Jacksonville State. Nobody wants to be there. And we try to do this thing the last game before Christmas where we wear the worst Christmas sweaters that we can find. And I've got one that's got NASA across the front of it, and it's got little lights, and it's got little space shuttles taken off. And we get into the post game. And Lamonte Turner comes in there, and he's talking to us. And he goes, oh, yeah, my Tennessee career is over. I'm going to have shoulder surgery. That's going to be it for me. And he had told nobody before he told us. He went and told Rick after us. He didn't tell UT. He didn't alert anybody of this. He just comes in there and says it. And we're all standing there around him in the stupidest Christmas sweaters you could imagine. He's like, yep, my career's over. And we're like, what'd you just say? So that was one.
So for me, for Peyton, the day of, I was obviously at the press conference. My behind the scenes story of that is the day before, Peyton Manning's Oldsmobile Bravada, parked in the same parking lot every day when he went to class, because he never missed class because he's Peyton Manning. And so in an effort to try to get a break, you know, and help your career out, right, you've got to find out something somewhere from somebody. And, you're just trying to find Peyton. And so I had an idea of his class schedule. So I parked my white Mazda pickup truck on the other side of the Bravada and sat for an hour and a half or so waiting for Peyton to come out of class. And as he came around the corner of the Bravada, I popped out like some kind of TMZ paparazzi guy. And it's the only time Peyton Manning really got mad at me, because he looked at me like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, for real? And I'm like, hey, man, can you give me anything, whatever, da-da-da-da. And he just looked at me and shook his head and got in his car and left. And from that point, I was supposed to devise whether or not I thought he was staying or he was leaving. And obviously, I had no idea what he was doing.
Well, at the time, the Morristown Parks and Recreation Hall of Fame banquet, they were trying to get Archie Manning to speak at the Hall of Fame banquet. And he had told them he couldn't do it because he was not going to be in town. And it was the week of the draft. It was the weekend. So like that, I mean, I was telling everybody, he can't do it. Peyton's going pro, you know, like, and then of course I remember walking out of the, I can remember where I was. I'm walking out of that building with the cadavers and he's staying. And like, that's when Austin got his first story wrong.
So fast forward right quick. I know we're about out of time, but fast forward to when Peyton was making his comeback and he was throwing for
teams. I was driving around town trying to find him. I was D1 everywhere. Yep.
And so I had figured out he had flown on a PJ from Durham, North Carolina to Chattanooga, and he was going to throw for the Titans. And the question was he going to throw in Chattanooga or in Knoxville? And we figured out it wasn't going to be in Chattanooga, because I thought he might throw at D1 down there, and he didn't. He was going to throw in Knoxville. So I literally went to the stairwell at Stokely Athletic Center. I parked on the other side of campus so no one would see a car, because this was like in the middle of nothing. I mean, there's nothing going on. Nobody's around. And I go and I sit in the stairwell where I can see the practice field. and I'm going to watch him throw, and you know, maybe the NFL Network wants to do something with me. I'd talk to those guys and the whole nine yards, right? And Peyton's coming into Knoxville, and he diverts from throwing. He was going to throw on campus, and he diverted from throwing on campus and actually threw at
Webb
is where he ended up throwing. And then he went and had lunch at Litton's. And I was across the street eating lunch at Sausarita's and had no idea that he was at Litton. So Peyton is the guy I've never been able to catch. I've never been able to get a story out of him, despite my best efforts to stalk him all over Tennessee's campus.
Same Mazda pickup truck, both stories.
No, I was out of the Mazda pickup truck at that point in time. But nah, it was a different pickup truck that was parked a long ways away. I did get John Curry parked in the parking lot when he fired Butch Jones. I did roll by him in my Toyota Tundra as he was getting out of his car, rolled my window down and looked over and said, "What are you doing here this morning?" And he just looked at me and dropped his head and left, and later referenced it in the press conference. But that's how I knew something was going down that day, because he was on campus to meet with Butch Jones on a Sunday morning, which meant he was going to fire him.
Two more. Good stuff there. Classic Hubs TMZ reporter. TV Vol 7.
I get nothing out of stalking, but I try.
TV Vol 7 says, why does Shaz Lanier keep getting mentioned with potential transfers on various posts? Would be a good addition, but hasn't even entered the portal yet, Grant.
Because people connect dots, and because he posted something in March on social media thanking North Florida, the staff, teammates, fans, all that stuff. He announced that he was going through the NBA draft process. He has not entered the portal yet, as far as I know. I don't know what his plans are moving forward, but he averaged 19.7 this season. He shot 51% from the field, 44% from three. And when you have those kind of numbers, people are going to want you. And he's from Nashville. And it just makes sense that if he did enter the portal, that Tennessee would be one of those teams. Now, if he does enter the portal, or when he does enter the portal, it's going to be the Chaz Lanier sweepstakes. And we'll see what happens then. But for now, it's just people connecting dots and thinking, if this kid, you know, how many times do you hear a North Florida kid getting drafted in the two rounds of the NBA draft? So we'll see what kind of feedback he gets and all that stuff and where he goes from here. But if he enters the portal, he's going to be one of the biggest names in the portal. And obviously Tennessee needs a guy that's 6'4", 200, that plays a combo guard, that scores it the way he did, that shot it the way he did. So people are connecting dots and trying to get him to come back to Tennessee, because he's a Nashville native, I think, is why there have been so many connections there.
Last question. It's going to go to Nieper. AP has said before, the secondary must not get injured, because once Boo Carter gets on the field, he won't leave the field. Is the wide receiver room in a similar boat with Mike Matthews?
Yeah, he asked this in the Monday Night Champ the other night. Sorry I didn't answer. I won't say that. I mean, I think that I could see that, but I won't say that, right? Like, I could see if Mike, you know, gets into the firm rotation, he's going to stay. Like, I mean, he's going to play this fall, in my opinion. But, I mean, like, how many snaps is he going to play? Like, I think once Boo, you know, Jordan Thomas isn't able to stay healthy at nickel and Boo becomes the nickel, I just think he's going to run with it.
Well, the veteran receivers are more proven than Jordan Thomas is. I mean, that's part of the difference too. Like, in terms of bumping out one of those veteran receivers, if you're Mike Matthews, I mean, that's different than bumping out a guy who's got what, one career start at nickel. I mean, it's not like, and listen, I like Jordan Thomas a lot. I think if he can stay healthy, I think he's a good player. But it's not like he's a three-year starting veteran as you have with Squirrel White and some of these other guys.
Good stuff, guys. Appreciate you sending in tons and tons of questions. Obviously couldn't get to all of them, but got to about 25 here this morning. So big thank you for that. Big thank you to Exterior Home Solutions for being the presenting sponsor of this show. Number one in roofing in the area, but they do everything else as well. Local and trusted since 1999. A free estimate. Pick up the phone today and call 865-524-5888 or visit them online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. For Austin Price, Grant Ramey, Brent Hubbs, I am Mary Kane. Be sure to stay dialed in to ballquest.com, the General's Quarters. AP, you're dropping recruiting nuggets, Lady Vol nuggets. You were doing coaching searching nuggets. I mean, it's a frying pan in there with all them nuggets, right?
Exactly.
AP got the 30-piece nuggets.
You know, I try to get my wife to share those with me. I'm like, let's get 30 out. No, I want the grilled chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. AP, with Boo Carter, are you talking about a Wally Pipp situation? And what are the odds Eric Kane knows the Wally Pipp situation?
I'm going to say Eric Kane does know who Wally Pipp is. No.
Nope.
He was a first baseman for the New York Yankees. Okay. And
what year?
This is in the Wayback Machine. And one day he had a headache or something. He didn't play. And the guy who replaced him was named Lou Gehrig and played like the next.
Oh, yes. I've heard that. Oh, yeah. I've heard that. I've heard that for sure. I just didn't know the name, but I've heard that story for sure. It's like, yeah, better not miss your opportunity or you'll never see it again. Tons of nuggets over at VolQuest.com, and you can listen to us here on you know, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course on YouTube as well. If you type in this promo code right now, you can get a discount over at VolQuest.com. Come join our family. We appreciate you guys listening and watching to us as always, but to get up-to-the-minute information on your beloved Tennessee Volunteers, join us at VolQuest.com over on the General's Quarters. Again, for Awesome Price, Grant Ramey, I'm Brent Hubbs. Thank you so much for being here and joining us here on the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast.
You've been listening to the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast every week right here on VolQuest.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.